As we have been doing the entire week, Father has asked us to give a small topic about the rites of the church. So far, we've had three topics. We've had the ranks of the priesthood, we've had the church holy books, and last night we had the church fast. So tonight we'll have another topic about the rites of the church. This time, the topic will be about facing the east. Why is it that we face the east? What's the importance of it? Does anybody know? Does anybody ever think about such a thing? All we do is we come into church and it's already facing the east and we don't really think much about it. Unless Abuna, of course, comes to our house when he stands to pray at the end of the gathering. What's the first question he asks? Which way is the east? Which way is the east? And sometimes, unfortunately, we don't know. That's another topic. So some questions about facing the east. Are there biblical reasons for doing it? Is there something biblical about it or not, or is it just the creation of the church? Is it of such great importance? Is God everywhere, or is he only in the east, for example? Is God not everywhere? Is he in every direction and in every place or not? What is the point of this importance about the direction that we face? Is God only in the east? Is he only in the east? We have many references in Scripture here, of course, to clarify this point. In Exodus, we hear, "But indeed, for this purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth, not just in one direction." Also in Job, we hear, "He comes from where? From the north, not from the east, as golden splendor, with God is awesome majesty." We also hear the prophet King David in his psalm. This would be Psalm 139. He says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me." So he's not just the God of the east. He's in heaven. He would be there in hell with me as well, in the wings of the morning, in the uttermost parts of the sea, etc. So the church is not trying to confine where God is. He's not just in the east only, and it's not for us to define and to confine the greatness of God. The church believes that God is omnipresent. This is one of the characteristics of God, and it's a good word to know. Omnipresent means what, present everywhere at the same time. We believe, for example, that while the Lord Christ walked the earth, he was still in the bosom of the Father and in heaven, and he still filled all the earth. He wasn't just here on earth at that particular time for people to see him, and he wasn't everywhere else like he always is. No, he filled all the earth even then. So then why the east? Why is special importance placed upon the east? Why not the north, as we heard in Job, the south, or the west? Why any direction at all? Why is it important? Let's see. If we think about the Old Testament, in which direction did the Israelites face in the Old Testament? Does anybody know? The west. Why do you say the west? Why the west? Anybody know why? You probably know what you don't want to say. They prayed toward the west because man was banished from the presence of God. So, and he was driven out of paradise, which was in the east, and he was facing west. We now in the New Testament, we've been given the blessing, the opportunity to face again east, unlike those of the Old Testament. What are the reasons then that we face the east now? What are the reasons? Let's see. First of all, paradise. We know that we have the Garden of Eden. We know that it was created in the east. In Genesis, we hear the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. So when we look toward the east, the church is trying to remind us that of the paradise that we left and the paradise we hope to return to. Every time I look toward the east, I think about this important point. We remember our condition before the fall, that of sinless man, and we struggle to return to this condition again. Adam and Eve were simple. They were innocent. They had a close relationship with God. He walked among them, and they spoke with him as to a friend. This is before the fall, and this is what we want to return to, and this is the condition that I want my heart to be in through my struggle and my repentance. Every time I face the east, I think about this important point. Secondly, the Lord Christ was born in the east as well. When we face the east, we remember the Lord's visit to our earth. We might have some vision or some thought about the angels appearing to the shepherds, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth and goodwill toward men. We remember his incarnation on our behalf, that he sacrificed himself. He emptied himself of his glory and took the shape and form of a servant for my sake. We remember the nativity scene with the shepherds and the wise men in Bethlehem in the east. All of this is called to my mind when I face in this direction. We remember the Lord's great humility, that again, he suffered and sacrificed himself and endured all the pain and the struggle of mankind for my sake and yours. Thirdly, the wise men also came from the east as well. In Matthew, we hear, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem." So we remember their journey, the journey of these men, and how diligently they sought this new king. Can you imagine the length that they traveled, the difficulties that they endured in order to come and to present themselves and to see this new king? We remember also the gifts that they presented, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And when I look toward the east, I remember this same important point, that the wise men presented gifts to the newborn child, Jesus. What is it that I present to him every time I stand to pray? We are reminded also that wise men still seek him in this day and age, not just the wise men of long ago before the nativity, but even nowadays, wise men seek him. If I'm really seeking him, I will be counted among those wise men. Fourth, the star that appeared rose from the east as well. And again, in Matthew, we hear, "For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." This is what the wise men said. So every time I stand again toward the east, I remember this point, and I remember the Lord's guidance and direction in my life in the same way that he guided and directed the wise men to the manger, to the cave where the nativity was. I submit to him, and I say, where he leads me, I will follow. I will follow in the same way the wise men did. I am reminded that he is the Lord of all creation, the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, as we say. So far, 4 points. Number five, what direction will the second coming be from? You can guess, of course, it'll be from the east. The Lord says, "For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be." So when I stand to pray and look toward the east, I'm also looking for this second coming. Maybe I have in my mind here this vision of the Lord coming on the clouds, accompanied by the angels to come and to judge the world and to take me, God willing, to paradise with him. I remind myself then to be ready to meet the Lord every time I stand and face the east. I remind myself also that my days on this earth are numbered. They're not infinite. Every time I stand toward the east and remember the second coming, I remember that my life is finite. I remind myself also that I have another home, and that I am here only temporarily. This isn't, like we say in the liturgy, we say we are sojourners, we're travelers, we're strangers in this place. My home will be at the second coming. Even, you know, maybe some people, when they go to sleep, they make sure that their bed, you know, is facing east, right? Maybe some of our grandparents or something. They're used to doing this. Also, when we bring the body of a departed person here in the church. He's facing east, his feet are on this side, and his head is on this side, as if the Lord will come and take his hand, and when he stands up, he'll be facing the east. Number six, the sun rises in the east as well. In the Psalms, we hear from the rising of the sun to its going down, the Lord's name is to be praised. So every time we stand and look toward the east, we are reminded of the resurrection. We hear very early in the morning, at the very break of day, at the first light, the Lord rose from the dead. When I look toward the east, I remember what he has done for me, the blessing that he has given me, the salvation that he accomplished for me. I am reminded that the Lord also is the light of the world. When I see the sun in the sky, when I'm looking toward the east in the morning, when I'm praying, I remember this important point that the Lord is the light of the world, and I ask him to shine his light upon me, to shine his light on my heart. I am reminded that the Lord is the Sun of Righteousness. This is in Malachi, the Sun of Righteousness, who shall arise with healing in his wings. Number seven, salvation was accomplished also in the east. The Lord says, and if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all peoples to myself. So I remember, again, the love that was demonstrated for me on the cross. The cross was in the east. I remember the perfect sacrifice offered for my sake. And maybe I see this vision, you know, of the sun being darkened and the moon being darkened and the earthquake and all of these things that the centurion saw long ago. And I say with him, truly, this man was the Son of God. Number eight, there's only nine. The east is also the direction of accepting Christ. In the sacrament of baptism, we see that the parents renounce Satan, facing what direction? Toward the west, right? The opposite direction. They raise their hand and reject Satan on behalf of the child. And then they turn around and they proclaim the true faith on behalf of their child again while facing the east. So the east is the direction of accepting Christ, accepting the true faith. And finally, the point here about the Virgin Mary, it's fitting that we mention her as well, since it's we're remembering her fast during these days. In Ezekiel, in the 44th chapter, we hear, then he brought me back to the outer gate of the sanctuary, which faces toward the east, but it was shut. And the Lord said to me, this gate shall be shut. It shall not be opened, and no man shall enter by it, because the Lord God of Israel has entered by it, therefore it shall be shut. The fathers understand this to be a prophecy about the perpetual virginity of the Virgin Mary. This is her womb. The gate that the Lord passed through is now permanently shut, and no man shall pass through this gate again. So the Virgin Mary is the gate, the sealed gate in the east as well. When I stand toward the east, I remember this as well. So finally, let's review. The first point about facing the east was paradise was in the east. What else? Remember? The Lord Christ also was born in that direction. The wise men came from the east as well. And what did they see? The star that rose in the east. The second coming also will be from the east. The sun rises in this direction. Salvation was accomplished for the whole world in the east as well. Accepting Christ is in that direction. And finally, we remember the Virgin Mary. May all of these things come to our minds when we stand and pray toward the east. To him be the glory forever. Amen.